Hi, I'm your host, Anthony Giorgio, and you're listening to another episode of QT, Queer Teen Podcast, encouraging the next generation of queer youth from across the world to stand up for what's right. So, hey, everyone, welcome to this episode of QT. I'm super excited because I was connected to my guest. Actually, I don't really know my guest. My guest is someone who is a drag queen, is a really good drag queen, has beautiful aesthetic. Their name is Ophelia Peaches. But there's a little bit of a twist, and you're all going to find out. So, you can start talking and tell everyone who you are and what you're about and where you're from and, of course, how old you are. Go for it.
Well, I'm Ophelia Peaches, and I'm a 14-year-old drag queen. I'm Woo-hoo! From Colorado, and I've been doing drag for a year, or now 2 years. Wow. And it is such an amazing thing to do, and I love it so much. And I don't think I could do something else.
Wait, you started drag 2 years ago, so you were an eighth grader when you started drag?
Seventh grade, I think.
Seventh grade, because technically you're just starting your freshman year. Oh, yeah, yeah. So
yeah.
Cool. Oh, and tell everybody, like, where you exactly live and, like, how that's been as an experience doing drag, because I don't even know what that would be like. I was not thinking of any of those things at your age. So I'm just tell all of us and tell myself.
Well, I live in the suburbs of Colorado. So I live basically where people still ride horses. And, either it's cowboys or beauty queens. And, well, I started drag because my mom is actually a fashion photographer. And I would go and volunteer with her at fashion shows. So I kind of became more connected with the drag scene and the fashion scene through my mom's photography. I mean, I did grow up, though, watching RuPaul's Drag Race and just seeing these queens, not as drag queens, but as just giant, beautiful glamazons. And I remember seeing these outfits that were just like, amazing. Like, I saw one of these outfits. It was a purple ostrich feather dress that RuPaul was wearing. And I told my mom, I want to get married in that dress because it is such a beautiful outfit. And I kind of started drag because of my mom's fashion and because of RuPaul. And so on my 13th birthday, I asked my mom if I could have a drag queen birthday party. So I got in face, someone dressed me up, and it was so amazing. And I went out to dinner at Denver's Mile High Hamburger Mary's, which is amazing, and I go there all the time now, and that is my happy place.
And oh, they have a Hamburger Mary's there. Cool, yeah, I didn't know that.
And it's amazing. I love their food, and I could survive off of them. And then, yeah, they're great. And then after dinner, we went and saw Drag Nation, which is, like, it was amazing. It was a drag show, and Chad Michaels was there, and my drag mother, Ginger Douglas, was there, and Nina Flowers, and just so many amazing queens. And I got to go backstage and meet them. And it was just such a great experience to see them in real life and to realize that drag isn't this weird taboo thing. It's, well, now it's becoming so popular and so accepted that I realized that it was okay to do drag and that I wasn't a bad person for wanting to express myself.
You sound like you're 25 years old. Are you really a freshman in high school? I'm just kidding. I know you are.
Yeah.
But I think that's so great. So, tell the listeners, too, how do you identify?
I don't really identify. I mean, I do kind of identify as gender fluid because during school I can dress like a very, well, yes, a very fabulous man, but still a man. And then I can go as a woman or as an androgynous kind of character. And I don't really feel like I need to identify as male or female or as straight or gay or bi. Right now, I mean, I'm only 14. I'm dealing with school and puberty and drama. And it's just ugh. So I don't, I'm not really, I don't know. I just don't really have a preference as to what I identify as.
Great. And you don't need to. There's no rules. I mean, people made up these rules just to put people in boxes. Of course, we all know that. And it doesn't really matter. I mean, the fact that you're even doing drag is impressive to me because, I mean, in 2000 when I graduated high school and before in the 90s, when I grew up in the 90s, basically, 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. But that's not, I mean, no one, that's not what kids did specifically. You know, I don't even know if I, like, when was the first time I even, like, witnessed a drag? Oh, well, yeah, RuPaul was the first person I witnessed because they used to have Spring Break on MTV when MTV actually was a station and people actually watched it and they had TRL, you know? So I used to watch her, but I didn't think of it as drag. I just thought of it as a human being and like living their truth. And like, we're all obsessed with the song and it's at the top of the charts and all these things are happening, but I didn't associate it as a drag queen. I just was like, this person's fierce. They're whatever I said at the time. And so I think it's pretty cool that you have the ability now. A lot of kids have the ability because of the internet, obviously, and social media helps, and seeing RuPaul's Drag Race in America and Thailand and now the UK.
And so, I feel like now drag has kind of become, for kids, it's their, well, for our community, it's more of, these drag queens are our Disney princesses.
Yeah.
Like, we grew up watching them and realizing that they're amazing goddesses. And it's not like, ooh, drag. It's like, when I grow up, I want to be a drag queen. Like, they are our Disney princesses now.
Well, and now they have Dragutant. Which is crazy because that never would have been a thing. I think it's new, right? I think it's like maybe a year old. I don't even know.
It's 2 years old as of our last show.
And it's done. Just explain to everybody what that is and it's where it is and what goes down there.
So Dragutant is a space for kids 18 and under to perform and to express themselves through the art of drag. And it doesn't matter what drag you do. You could be a queen, a king, a hyper queen. It doesn't matter what drag you do. It's just, Dragutant is to show kids that it's a performance art and that it's okay to do drag because it's self-expression. And Dragutant is there to support these kids and love them and lift each and every one of them up, to show them that they're okay doing this and that they're loved and supported. And it's come such a far way from that small little idea in our minds that we could make this. And now we had someone from Canada and the UK and
hello.
We have these kids coming from all over the place just showing their true selves, and they're beautiful and amazing, and it's so great to see them really flourish. And it's a day where they get their makeup done and they get coached on how to walk and how to dance and how to do all these drag things, and then at the end of the day, on a real stage, and at the end of the day, we have a giant live performance for them, and they all perform, and then after their performance, everyone gets a crown, because we're trying to show that they were brave enough to get on stage and show themselves that they have won in our minds. And it's so amazing to see these really young kids just feeling free and okay doing drag.
It's so cool. I have to get there. I have to get to an event because I'm obsessed. I've always been obsessed with drag queens. Anyways, me and my husband are like, we live for that. We were just at RuPaul's Drag Con this past weekend, which is amazing. And hold on one second. And I'll probably keep this in. My dog is losing his mind. We were at RuPaul's Drag Con this past weekend. It was really cool because I met, I already knew Dragnificence. And I did a live podcast there, and she came on and talked. And of course, Desmond's Amazing was there. And then there was like so much more. Have you been to Drag Race? Have you got a chance to go there yet?
I've been to Wigstock. I went to.
I saw that in your little resume here. That's cool.
Yeah. I performed that with Joey Arias and a bunch of drag kids, and it was so amazing. It was such an amazing experience to go there and to see these kids that are famous and that are just like me. They're doing drag, and they're being their best selves. But I have not been to Drag Con yet. That is definitely on my bucket list, though.
You'll get there. I mean, you already did Wigstock, so I think you're ahead of the game a little bit. Because Wigstock's been around forever. It went away, and then it came back. And did you get to meet Lady Bunny?
Yes.
Okay, good.
And she's amazing.
Yeah.
She's such an icon.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. She's great.
And crazy, but she's
her
crazy.
Humor is so great.
Crazy.
And I got a wig.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I got a wig as a tribute to her. And I plan on doing a little Lady Bunny performance because she really left an impact on my life.
Well, your aesthetic, as part of what your aesthetic is kind of like Lady Bunny-esque. It's kind of like Lady Bunny and, one of my favorite drag queens of all times. And I can't even think of her name. And she's just got Miss Congeniality last season. What's her name?
Nina West?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
I watched your – well, that's why I was like, how old are you? Because you carry yourself so well. And how tall are you? You have to be tall.
I am 6 feet out of heels.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the height also lends
only
itself
recently,
to –
Only though.
Yeah. Only – well, still, like, even the most recent videos, I do my research. So I was like, what is this queen done? And, I mean, you're just all over the place. It's fantastic, especially in Denver. With your like little unicorns and
I
love it.
If I could just have a unicorn entourage every day of my life,
I think you should. I think anywhere that could be your totally be your thing. You just bring unicorns everywhere you go.
Yeah,
and then you can have like unicorn candy, unicorn poop. You can have unicorn spark. All that stuff would be great.
Actually met all the little unicorns at my dance school, and I was like, yeah, I'm performing at Pride. Do you think you could maybe be a bunch of inflatable unicorns and help me out? And they're like, totally, we would love to dance around as inflatable unicorns. And I had just a squad of unicorns, and my life was complete that day. I didn't need to do anything else.
So aside from all the fabulousness that you are and everything that you do, what has the impact been like for you experiencing it as a kid? I mean, essentially, you know, a young teenager. And, you know, kids can be cool, but a lot of kids can be jerks. So let's just be real. What's been your experience inside of all that?
Definitely, I've had a lot of kids that have just supported me, and it's amazing to have so much love from my community here, and just everybody is empowering me, and I feel like it's kind of full circle that they give me the support so that I can go out and do drag and support other kids that are like me and that are younger and that don't have the voice yet.
Right.
And they're going through what I went through at their age to get to where I am today.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I joke that I have a whole just posse of popular girls that are ready to cut someone if they try to cross me.
No, that's a real thing. Listen, I had the same thing. No. That is a real thing. I mean, I came out when I was 16 in 1998, and then I don't have a story for you. Like, I was very lucky. My family supported me. It wasn't a thing. I brought my boyfriend to the prom in 2000, which was like, No one did that. But it's like, you know, I didn't feel unsafe. I felt nervous because we all have that little nerve because there are closed-minded idiots in the world. But
yeah,
at the same time, you're going to, like, push forward. Like, you just makes you a better person because you're like, well, I'm nervous, but I know that, like, I have the support. So if anything were to come up, you know, anything were to arise, hopefully, you know, people take care of it. And also, well, you're 6 feet tall, so really. And you put some heels on, and you're
feet
like,
tall,
six feet.
200 pounds. Yeah.
Right.
I don't think anyone
so like,
needs to turn.
Okay. Are your parents, now, are you, not the pride, but are you with both your parents or just your mom?
Just my mom.
Cool. And she's obviously totally supportive because who makes your clothes? Or where do you get your clothes from?
My mom makes a lot of them. We sit down and we fabricate stuff and we sew and
right.
we glue a lot of jewels. A lot of jewels.
Of course. You have to.
Yeah.
Or not. You could be like, you know, swamp glam drag, whatever you want.
Yeah.
That's really, really
we
cool.
We do buy a lot of used stuff.
Yeah. Fair enough. So do we. I mean, my husband's a drag queen as well. She is an impersonator of Dorothy, well, Bea Arthur from the Golden Girls. So she's actually doing a gig right now as we speak. Yeah.
Do you know a queen named Dixie Crystals?
I do. I think I know of a queen named Dixie Crystals, yes.
She's amazing. I love her so much. She's really close to us, and she does an amazing Golden Girls performance. So, yeah.
I love it.
It's great.
That's great.
Her Golden Girls brunches.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they do. That's the thing. So basically my husband and two others, the Blanche and the Rose, they created the Golden Gays NYC, and they're doing really well. So, and they're actually a musical parody. So they do a lot of, they all sing and harmonize. So they do a musical version of the Golden Girls. It's pretty cool.
That's amazing. I'm actually in singing classes because I aspire to be a singing queen.
Great. Yeah. I mean, that's a niche right there. And if you can find that niche and do it, then go for it. Yeah, actually, they'll be going to the Midwest, not that close to you, but at some point they'll get to Colorado,
doing
their show there. But they're going on tour in October, but not as close.
The problem with like me though, and doing the singing and this is like everything happened so sudden. Like I got a really low voice, I got super tall, and I'm like.
Right.
I went from being a kid to this 6 foot tall, like teenager. And I'm like, what the heck happened to me? And I've had to like try and combat this and my growing with my drag because I'm still a kid. But like you said, a lot of people don't think I'm 14. They're like, wait, you're 14. And they have to double take on me because I'm so tall. And then you add the makeup and the wig and all that. And I look so much more mature and older than I am. I look 21, and I'm like, I'm 14, and I don't know what I'm doing.
Exactly, which actually is fantastic, too, because not knowing what you're doing is actually, I guess, it's actually an advantage in a way, because then you could just do whatever the hell you want, and then you just create something that's original to you, you know? And that's like your voice, since it's all of a sudden sank, and it's like low. Well, there are plenty, I mean, my husband is a 6'2", 6'4", or 6'5", whatever, in heels, and plays the Arthur and has a beautiful bass voice, and that's what he do. And he goes with that. He doesn't go against it. So he runs with the low. There's plenty of low singing older songs or anything you can find. Yeah, yeah. Just start doing, literally, if you go on YouTube and start, just go back, like, look at all of the 1940s, 50s, and 60s of all these icons, these gay icon of women that are now, you know, a lot of drag queens emulate or sing their songs or lip sync to their songs, whatever.
Yeah.
And you'll see, you will, it'll blow your mind. You'll watch it for hours because it's like so amazing the way they are. And it's funny because watching your aesthetic just on your videos, it's sort of, I don't know if you don't know, you're kind of naturally that anyways. I don't know if you realize that or not, but it's just like because of your height, because of your size and stature and beauty, and that's what like comes across. So, hey, listen, go away, make your coin. Just use what you got. That's all there is to it. Do you get to, I saw some videos. Tell everybody, explain a little bit, because a lot of people, there's controversy behind the whole like drag team, but explain to people what, besides drag-y-ton, what else can you do to go make a dollar, you know, some tips and lip sync. Just tell them what you do actually do so that they know that you're not going to a bar that everyone's 21 and older and getting wasted and you're in a bar. Top singing. What did you actually do other than?
I volunteer a lot with the drag court here in Denver. I do so many nonprofits, and I do a lot of humanitarian things in our community. And then at the end of every month, there's this show that was made. It's an all ages show at a comic book store, a giant comic book warehouse, and I perform there sometimes. And it's really fun because there's a lot of queens from Draguetaunt that do that as well.
Right.
And then I also, like, at the end of this month, I got invited to MC a fashion show, and I'm doing that. So great. I definitely try to do a lot of speaking, and I try to give back to the community as much as I can, because without Denver's community, then I would not be where I am right now.
That's fantastic. So, that's pretty much it.
But
I just wanted to thank you, though. Go ahead, keep going. No, keep going. What did you say?
I don't perform in bars.
I don't think, I mean, you can't, really. I mean, I guess you could perform at, like, a brunch. That's not a bar.
Yeah, I do brunch. I don't really want to perform in a bar, at least until I'm 20.
Listen, save it, because you're going to experience the bar scene. It's a totally different aesthetic to what you can bring to the table, because obviously you're dealing with a lot of drunk people. And as the night goes on and you're still there and it's 1 a.m, you're gonna get a lot coming at you, which is fun, because if you know, you just get better practice at being off the cuff and having, you know, little funny things to say here and there. And that's actually a skill that a lot of people don't realize is a skill, is like being off the cuff and having quick jokes. And that's totally part of being a drag queen and a host in general. So,
yeah.
So I would the bars will always be there. Don't you worry. Well, thank you for your time. I think this is fantastic, and I'm so glad you jumped on the podcast. Tell everybody how they can find you on all of the social medias and interwebs.
You can find me on Instagram at Ophelia Peaches, all one word. And then you can find me on Facebook at Ophelia Peach. And I am on Instagram more than I am Facebook, though.
Perfect, perfect. And oh, and you have a website?
Yes, I do. I do have a website. It's OpheliaPeaches.com. And
simple.
It looks really cool. I love it.
I know. I was just looking at it. It's really, really cool. It's nice to have people that can really make you look that way and, like, put all your things on there. It's really fun. It's very good.
Awesome. My mom. Cool. I helped my mom kind of create it because she has a degree in graphic design, so she makes websites and stuff.
Oh,
and I got to help her kind of create the format, and luckily she does Photoshop because my makeup doesn't look that great.
Yet.
Yet.
That is a learning process. Putting on makeup is not easy. People don't really get it. There's contouring, and it depends on what kind of queen you want to be. If you want to be a queen that cakes it all on and looks kind of clownish, or something in the middle, or it doesn't, you know. It just depends on what you want to do with your face. That's all. I mean, compare it to, like, Trixie versus Courtney Act. Those totally different aesthetics in drag.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, and then there's, like, the ones where they just make their face look so amazing and snatched and beautiful, And then they take it off and they look like a totally complete, like a completely different person. And you're like, you are a makeup god. You're amazing.
Yeah,
and I aspire to be like that.
And you will. You just keep doing it. I think you paint your face enough too, and like it's just practice. That's all. You just gotta do it a lot. And well, I really appreciate your time, and I think it's great that you got on the pod. And I'm so excited for everybody to keep discovering you. And that is it.
And thanks for listening to another episode of QT, Queer Teen Podcast, encouraging the next generation of queer youth from across the world to stand up for what's right. And remember, listen, learn, love.